if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy hoy, and welcome to episode 390 of BRB UK. It's been another thrilling week in lockdown. This week, I've alphabetized my Scrabble tiles.
Are you sure you're not Tim? That sounds like a very Tim thing to do.
No, that's Coleman, by the way. Say hello, Coleman.
Hi!
And who is this Tim of which you speak?
That is I.
Well done. Well done. So what crazy fun have you guys been having in this week in quarantine?
Having to go to work because my local council are idiots, but anyway.
Having to go to work because I have to go to work.
So it's just me in quarantine then, is what we're saying.
Yeah. I'm kind of jealous of all the people who are like saying that I've lost track of time and, you know, I've got too much time in my head. I'm like, okay, great, thanks. Good for you.
Nice for you. Are we still quarantine bearding?
I am.
Because mine's gone very grey.
Yeah, mine's got random ginger bits still. I mean, Tim, have you still decided on what your favourite bit of personal hair is?
I didn't know that was something I was required to come up.
We talked about it in the show. What Tim's favourite bit of hair
is. Doesn't necessarily mean that I paid attention, Dan.
Yeah, this is very true, as I demonstrated previously.
I've set myself some quarantine beard rules at the moment, which is because I clean shaved for the first time in what feels like a decade.
And then like an egg.
Have been growing, yeah, exactly like that, and have been growing my beard from that point. I am not trimming it in any way.
Right.
So I just look like a dirty hobo. And I didn't realize quite how grey I am because my chin looks like the sides of Mr. Fantastic's head.
Yeah, no, I've got that. I like to liken it to Doctor Strange's little grey temples. I'd side of my chin.
Well, I've been grey for years, so...
Unless I have any important meetings coming up that come spur of the moment, then I'll have to sort of trim and shave and look presentable. But the plan is leave it shaggy, and then when everything's back open again, just head to a barber's and let them do it properly.
I'm well looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, you do it together. Double
you
date.
Know in those apocalypse movies when, like, 6 weeks later and you see them with a big shaggy beard and all the hair, and you're like, yeah, that would never happen that quickly. And then you're like, oh, no, that would. Okay, yeah.
Well, what I'm realising from The Walking Dead, been going through old episodes of The Walking Dead.
A favourite documentary series of mine,
yes.
Definitely, yep.
There is a point where Rick Grimes, the main character, Andrew Lincoln, has a big apocalypse beard.
Yes.
And it is the most beautiful kept beard with oil and wax and
wow.
Stuff that like you've ever seen. It's impressive, but it's definitely kept.
the dilemma I'm having is where to do the jawline.
I'm telling you, leave it. Go to a barber's and get them to sort it out.
Fair enough.
if it's your first time, especially.
Hey, am I supporting local business by doing that as well?
I think so.
Excellent.
And also, then you have a mark of where you know where to keep the line at.
I'm generally shaving normally at the moment, like, well, semi-normally, leaving it a bit longer here and there. But yeah, I generally just shave it down. But I am really considering shaving my head at the moment because I'm not going to a barber's for a while. And
no!
Don't do it! Cult
Don't
of Coleman.
Do it.
Beginning to look straggly.
Then it will be Dan, hair, beard. Coleman, no hair, beard. Tim, no hair, no beard.
Hey, but on the bright side, if you ever want to play BRB UK Guess Who, you'll be sorted.
We could line up and we'd look like a before after commercial.
I know, we would, wouldn't we? It's on one side of the slider, it's Tim. On the other side of the slider, it's me. It's great.
Well, plan is big, bushy, greying, brown beard like Joel from The Last of Us.
lovely. Yeah. You just want to live out your murder dad fantasies.
Yeah, you're
strangled dad. Sorry.
Yeah, get it right.
Yeah, sorry. Wrong moderately sociopathic person to come on. Anyway, talking of strangled dads, it sounds like Sony and Naughty Dog may have narrowed their list of suspects considerably. So they think they know who has identified leaks, the large leaks of Last of Us Part 2 online.
Are they there? Are they there flipping cards down? Going, has he got a beard? Yes. Okay, flip those ones. Has he got hair? No. Oh, damn it, no.
Does he own a plaid shirt? Wait, what?
Oh, that's definitely me. Neil Druckmann's at my house.
I like the idea of it being Detective Sony and his Naughty Dog companion.
Yeah, Ruff McGruff, the Naughty Dog.
It's like Rebecca Vardy and a Chihuahua or something.
We heard about The Last of Us Part 2 leak last week and the week before, and basically some young rapscallion, assume young, has gone out there and leaked all the cutscenes from the game, it seems, along with some gameplay and other footage and assets and stuff. Put them all online for everyone to see, and now if anyone mentions Naughty Dog, The Last of Us in a popular site on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter, you have to not look at any of the comments if you don't want the game spoiled, because at the moment, people are being dicks about it. Initially, when the footage was leaked on YouTube, there was something in the comments referencing that they were a Naughty Dog employee that was leaking this footage in protest of crunch, overtime, lack of pay, all this kind of stuff. And that got chins a wagging. And one of those people was Jason Schreier. He put out a thing basically damning anyone that worked on the game that decided to leak it. And then after some feedback following that, he then decided to get his journalist hat on and go, right, okay, I'm actually good at this. Let's find out what's happened. And it looks like there was a patch in an older Naughty Dog game that allowed access to the developer's servers, which is the Amazon servers, I think they're using at the moment.
Yeah, it's on AWS.
Yeah, and basically if you follow a specific path, then that will give you access to all these assets and things that have been recorded, captured. That's also been corroborated from a game developer under the name of Pixelbutts. They said that they knew about this leak back in February, I think, and they did report it to Naughty Dog themselves, which seemingly might have been ignored, but they then have come back to Kotaku and said that the exploit has been fixed as of the 30th of April. Naughty Dog and Sony have both come out to, well, Sony's come out to say they know who the culprit is. Naughty Dog has come out, well, Neil Druckmann's come out to say, you know, at least they can put this behind us, when there's still rumors that are flying out there that are incorrect and things. So once the game is out and everyone has it in their hands, then they will elaborate further on some of those rumors.
Mm. Yeah, it's a real shame for anyone that's working on the game so close to launch and, yeah, taking the wind out of their sails a little bit, but
I bet you the kind of person who is the kind of guy who likes to go around telling kids that Santa doesn't exist.
What?
Sorry, no, Christmas Cthulhu's still there, Carmen, so it's okay.
Oh, thank good Lord.
I know.
What was the other one? We had a new one.
We talk a lot of crap. I don't
know. You want a Christmas?
It's difficult to keep track. You saw my problem earlier.
Yeah, it's we say a lot of things.
I'm gonna look it up and I'm gonna tell you later. Just drop it in randomly.
All right.
Even though that leaker is not Naughty Dog, there are still reports of heavy crunch times and things at Naughty Dog, especially with The Last of Us Part 2, because there was a lot of problems with Uncharted 4 initially, because the game ended up being rewritten, recast, you know, head people were taken out and new people were brought in. And this ended up with delays to the game plus extra crunch time and stuff. Someone from Naughty Dog said that the DLC, the Expandalone that they added, was the worst piece of development they've ever worked on, the worst development experience they've ever worked on.
Wow.
And then The Last of Us Part 2, seemingly trying to avoid that, they made a lot of plans in advance and gave lots of time before this game is finally meant to be out and being very close-knit on the release date, and they still had problems with rewrites and stuff as well. So crunch is bad. We're not for it. It's not good.
There is one important exception to that rule.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Crunch, kind of all right.
Never had it, being British and everything.
No, you can get Captain Crunch here. Yeah.
Can you?
Yeah.
Is it one of those American shops that charge like 20 quid for a box of cereal?
Yeah, it might be. Don't get many lemon slough. I'm just thinking back to the heady days when I used to live in North London, where there was civilization and turnips and Swedes.
I have found our last Christmas god by the Christmas deity, by the right. way, that replaced Cthulhu. It was Alfredo, the deity of Brussels sprouts.
Oh, it sounds totally like something I would say.
I think so.
Yeah.
Alfredo.
Alfredo.
Diddly ding. Good.
Wow.
There's another leak as well, Dan, that you literally just told me about.
Yes, exactly. I mean, Coleman has been sleeping a little bit under a rock, because even Tim knew about this one. And even more surprisingly, even I knew about this one.
I work long hours.
So, it turns out, somehow, someone got their hands on a bunch of kind of Wii, 3DS, N64 era trade secrets from Nintendo. There's various rumors that it was acquired from the servers of kind of a Chinese company who was making Nintendo endorsed versions of their consoles for the Chinese market.
Oh, for the Nvidia Shield.
No, like the IQ back in the day.
Oh, right, okay. So I know at the moment it's the Shield that they're re-releasing old Wii games and Wii U games, but they're porting them to a higher fidelity, better frame rate and stuff. Basically, they're getting the remasters that we should be getting, but it's just on the Chinese market, on a PC, no less.
Curses. So, yeah, so, I mean, although I think, all right, well, it's old stuff, you know, what does that really matter? I mean, there are also, I think, a bunch of ROMs included with it, like, or this was part of the same leak, but not released at the same time, like, kind of beta versions of Pokemon Ruby, I think.
Okay.
With unreleased Pokemans in them. But it's unclear how this got out. Apparently, it's not a breach at Nintendo themselves. But essentially, what this contains is basically the source code for the systems. You think, hang on, Dan, systems don't have source code. Well, they kind of do. Like, processors all have, like, their own code. It's called microcode that runs within. So all that's been dumped. All of the internals of the system, including, like, the block diagrams of how the processors work, they've been dumped. All of the internal documents about how to write stuff and how various system-critical things work, they've been dumped. So that includes stuff like how the authentication procedures work, which might still be in use in some Nintendo products. That's a complete guess by me. How the DVD copy protection worked, how the manufacturing and publishing systems worked, like Nintendo software development kits, like the boot ROMs for these things. Oh, and also a bunch of stuff that's signed with Nintendo's key for the Wii, meaning that probably you could sign anything you want and run it on the Wii, or convince a bit of Wii software, indeed, that it's running on the Wii.
Wow.
Now, which kind of gets to the slight tricky bit of it, because a lot of people have immediately assumed, you've got source code, so emulator's going to be good times now, yes.
Emulator's already good times now. Have you not heard of the dolphin?
The dolphin it's a wonderful animal.
Very good at Smash Brothers.
You know, amazingly, really high fidelity Wii and GameCube emulation just by shoving a DVD up his bunghole. It's
wow.
Great.
A blowhole.
The bunghole. So, yeah, the reason why it won't make sure of a distance for emulators is that anyone who uses any of this dump code is a moron, because Nintendo will definitely be able to say, yeah, that's our code you're using. I mean, they've admitted it's accurate. And, you know, the devs behind the Dolphin project, which is open source, they've kind of said the only way we've managed to keep Nintendo off our back is to convince them that we're essentially doing it in like the development equivalent of a clean room. You know, we are literally working backwards from what we observe on the system and trial and error, and kind of making our own version of what the Wii does, not copying any code. So,
and also the guys at Dolphin, they're very particular about who they work with and what sources they use. So they are not likely to take this due to the, you know, legal nature of it all.
I mean, they've already said that. So, well, I mean, the only unknown, I think this is from a legal perspective, is let's say someone takes a branch of Dolphin off GitHub and then sideloads all this into it. Would they try and take Dolphin down as a result? I hope they wouldn't. But knowing what Nintendo's internet skills and recognition of what's a thing on the internet goes, you know, they may try and sue GitHub into oblivion for all I know.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is this where the 1998 Space World demos have been coming from?
I think it's a similar leak.
Yeah, okay. I heard something about Space World demos coming out, and I was very interested. But yeah, if it's closed source stuff, I'm staying away from it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it's an interesting academic exercise, I feel, and that's probably all it would be, because, you know, you can't really use any of this code, because you will just get into absolute, you know, you'll
be
sued
a knock at the door,
oblivion.
And then, well, not only that, Bowser will come around and break your kneecaps.
He certainly will.
Not even Doug Bowser, the actual dragon
real,
dude.
Real actual Bowser.
Yeah.
So the full breakdown include, apart from the hardware stuff, it's also the debug builds of Pokemon Blue and Yellow, the source code for Pokemon Blue and Yellow, Japanese debug builds of Gold Silver, Gold Silver source code,
question, Dan.
The official Game Boy emulator. Yes, hit me up.
One is this list going on all day, but no, more generally, like, what's the actual...
Oh, I'm sorry, did you want to talk about menus for a minute?
What I wanted to actually know...
I thought we were going that way.
Yeah, what I wanted to actually know is, like, what's the use of this to anyone? Like, what could they practically do with it if they can't really use the code online anywhere or anything?
Well, people with scruples won't be using the code online. I guarantee it'll be a bunch of other people with no scruples who will. But it's also, you know, just kind of Nintendo's intellectual property as well. I mean, it's a bit of an insight into their approach to things and may indirectly lead to insights on how to get around certain restrictions, perhaps on their more modern consoles.
It's a shame because there's a lot of preservation potential out of this, and I don't mean sharing it online around for everyone to keep a hold of it, but I'm assuming the people that have it could keep it offline, could do stuff with it on local devices and what have you. That could, you know, there could be a black market of Nintendo stuff, but it could be used for preservation that Nintendo tend to be a bit weary of public preservation because they like to, you know, they like to sell you Mario 70 times in your lifetime.
Yeah, I can kind of understand them wanting to keep their intellectual property theirs, though.
Don't get me wrong. I'll get it.
I'll get it, mate.
I'll get it.
I'll bloody do.
That's a bit Michael Caine there.
Certainly bloody did. There was a bit of an inside Xbox May 2020 live stream, and it's May 2020. In fact, it happened just before we recorded and in a bizarre... Yeah,
not 15 minutes before we connected online.
Indeed, and in an amazing stroke of, well, surprisingness, we all, I think, watched a bit of it.
I watched the whole thing.
Likewise.
Yes, I watched the whole thing while I was waiting for some tedious progress bars to fill.
And wrote down the cliff notes.
You certainly have. So, Coleman, take me through this thing.
Okay, so I'll just run through the games that they showed off. I don't know. I didn't get, because, like I say, this happened just before we start recording, so I don't know what's on Game Pass, what's cross-buy. Well, I don't know what the actual term is, but the... You buy on Xbox, you get on the other Xbox.
Smart Delivery.
Smart Delivery.
Silly name for a decent thing, but anyway. So first of all, they showed off Bright Memory Infinite, and if that is actual... I mean, everything that they showed off as well that was gameplay, they had a very small white font at the bottom saying, this is expected this is gameplay, expected performance on the Xbox System X.
Well, Bright Memory Infinite is already actually available on Steam Early Access.
It is. This was shown off at GDC last year, I think. But it does look very nice. Part shooter, part melee combat.
Yeah, it does look very impressive.
And what one of the big things about it is that it's kind of one of the few titles that's kind of really pushing ray tracing as well. And there was a couple of demos here which I thought looked like ray tracing was being used in some of the footage. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, look to have like good sort of particle effect stuff in the kind of weather effects and stuff as well, no?
Yeah, I mean, what's quite incredible about Bright Memory is it's a game put together by a single bloke.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's since like the age of the Spectrum and the C64 or maybe even the Amiga, I don't really think that's something we've seen for a long while. So, incredibly talented chap.
The trailer itself is absolutely mad because it starts off and, yeah, you've got these amazing weather effects and stuff and it's all playing in 4K 60 and it looks lovely. And you've got this gun action that looks like it's kind of a hybrid of Halo and Call of Duty in the style of the weapons and how they work and stuff. And then
Titanfall is the feeling I get on it sometimes.
I mean, yeah, Titanfall can be thrown in there. And then all of a sudden they're in the melee combat, but it's kind of the samurai, was it Red Steel on the Wii, where you kind of the sword action? And then all of a sudden a DeLorean pulls up and it's bonkers and I love it. I want to play this.
I mean, I have to say, one of my favourite things actually throughout this whole thing was how just the ridiculous spitballing in the comments. I was watching it on Mixer. Like, as soon as I was like, oh my God, it's Call of Duty, the next Call of Duty. No, it's the next one of these. And then They're setting themselves up for ultimate disappointment. Dirt 5, there's cars in it. It's got to be Forza 8, for example.
I had to... Where I'm writing the notes down while I'm watching the stream, I had one stream running on my browser in 4K, and then I had like a 1080p one running on my phone in the corner, muted. So I can sort of pause and go back while I'm not interrupting the stream, because I've got to get this done before we've got the show.
Yeah.
But On your phone, you can just get rid of the comment section, the live comments.
Yeah.
I can't stand them. Because otherwise they blast through the actual video itself when you're watching landscape.
Yeah,
on the
really
browser,
annoying.
It doesn't give you that option, but you can pop out the chat and hide it somewhere. So I had to do that after a while because I can't remember what point it was. I think it was Ascent or Medium, one of those, and there was a pregnant woman and someone went, abortion simulator.
Oh, God.
I'm just going to put you over there out of my way now.
Yeah.
Because everything was like that. And it was the same people spamming the same comments because they just run through in a blink of an eye and spam the same things.
Every comment section, I'm like, why do you bother? Why?
Yeah.
And generally, it's like, where's Fortnite 2?
Why is this not turned off?
Yeah, exactly.
Or at least turn offable. Anyway.
Anyway, carry on, Cold Man.
In a trailer that Codemasters decided to bring, I swore was going to be on Rush 2 by the complete bonkers nature of some of the vehicles in motion. Dirt 5, which looks brilliant.
They look really good.
Drift competitions over the Hudson River which is frozen and ute driving in China and... Yeah, lots of kind of world travel, different variations of vehicles. And if I know, if I didn't know already that I am terrible at dirt games, I would really be interested in this. But you got to have a driving game to show off the fidelity of how these games look on your new shiny console.
Yeah, and I can never remember. I think Dirt's the more arcadey one. No, it looked it from the trailer as well. I think Dirt is the more arcadey one, and Dirt Rally is the more sim one, I believe. So that for me is good news because I slightly prefer the arcadey ones and this look fun. So
Dirt Rally is what used to be Colin McRae?
I believe
so. Before Colin McRae died, and then Dirt is a spin-off.
Kind of, because in previous Dirts you had the Gymkhana stuff when you did. Kind of... Yeah.
Okay.
Which is where people drive about in cars whilst wearing leotards.
That was actually good fun when you got used to it. But
if I can play this in a preview somewhere, I'll try that first.
I've got an IP banned on Wikipedia for that. Because I started editing the Gymkhana article just to prove a point to Brady during the podcast, and that they slightly banned that IP address from Wikipedia for vandalism.
Scorn, the estate of HR Giga is going to sue somebody.
Apart from the slightly... HR Giga is so massively inspired. I mean, I couldn't really get many ideas on this game other than, wow, that's a lot of HR Giga looking stuff. And what are those two statues doing? Are they humping?
So it's not only is it the influence, the look of Giga's artwork, but also... the kind of the tones on pregnancy and sexual nature and stuff that's also
reflected. I wasn't
reflected.
A big fan of the dripping wall proboscis.
It was that was it because I went back to see because they show the EBB software at the start and I went, sorry, what was that? So on my phone I go back to kind of try find that and I look at the browser and I was like, what was that, a dribbling phallus? What was that?
Hey, look, I said dribbling wall proboscis to try and keep it somewhat clean.
Was it just me, or generally was this and a few other videos, you're like, I don't remember them really warning about this being like adult content and this kind of going out during the middle of the day and early on?
Okay. On Mixer, it was like it's intended for an adult audience.
Okay. Maybe I just skipped over that.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, what was interesting, a lot of these games, I think, weren't what the kind of the standard Xbox demographic were expecting of chats, anything, if chats in these streams or anything to go by. So, oh, well, I'm not really feeling any of this. I might cancel my pre-order. All right. Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it was weird, but there was no gameplay. There's not really a lot. It was just, isn't this weird and gross and trippy?
Mm.
Do you remember Alien? Remember Prometheus? Remember that bit at the start of Alien where they go in the ship and there's the big dude and you're like, what does it all mean? And then they made Prometheus and it was rubbish.
The next one looked a bit more interesting though, no?
Yes. Chorus from Deep Silver. Fish
Chorus, not Corvus. Not Corvus.
Yeah, it was hard to read until they provided other text.
I wrote it down as Corvus, and then I had to look up Corvus, and I could not find anything on Corvus until it autocorrected Chorus, Xbox, and it worked. So that's also Scorn and Chorus. They're really, and the Medium as well. They're really looking at some weird SEO results there.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. You need something a bit more interesting. But Chorus, space shooter, space flight shooter.
Mm. Looks pretty though.
Yeah.
There's not much more to say than that. But it's very nice looking space shooter. As far as space shooters go, I would like to play that space shooter.
I mean, it would be lovely if, I'm really hoping it there's not much in the way of on-rails stuff in it. It looks fantastic and, you know, yeah, I love me a space opera.
If it's a modern day version of like the old, Amiga top down space shootery twin sticky shooter type things, but in a 3D environment, I'm game for that. If it's
You're
a good game,
for that?
Yeah, I'm down for that. I looked into Deep Silver Fish Labs before we started, just because I hadn't heard of Fish Labs before. Would you like to know some of their back catalog?
Do you know what?
Yes.
I'm primed and ready for some fresh information in my
all
face brain.
Remasters.
Hit me with it.
All remasters. You've got Dead Island, whatever Lovely. Version on the mobile. You've got the Saints Row re-elected on the Switch.
Good.
They just do remasters, basically. So this is their first big, you know, standalone game that they're doing on their own. So I'm interested to see how that works out.
To be fair, that's the route in for a lot of developers, smaller developers. That's a route into building your company is doing
port
work and then... Yeah, working on your game in the background. So, yeah, that's no bad thing. Looks interesting.
Madden 21. There's going to be a Madden 21. There was a...
In other news, the sun still rises in the east, sets in the west.
There was a Joe American. He was there to tell us about the football. And
Made me feel like a keg-sucking broski for a moment.
I will admit, the point this turned on, I then went... That was the point I could then go back on the stream and go, right, who was that? Who was that? Where's that? Okay, now we're back. Vampire, The Masquerade, Bloodlines 2. Again, pre-rendered trailer. But it was that's a way of catching people's attention.
It certainly was. Although everyone thought it was like a playable version of the... is it Joker? It looks really interesting. It's yet another kind of... It's a psychological
horror
weirdy thing, like much of this is. A lot of their stuff was like psychological horror, but you played the role of a vampire, but I was slightly distracted by the really uncanny valley nature of quite a lot. Not like uncanny vampires, like the animation looked a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a weird one to show off the console with, because they've definitely gone with an animation
an older style
that doesn't necessarily take the best advantage of new software.
It's a little more Fallout, a little more Outer Worlds, you know.
I mean, it didn't look bad, but it didn't really
look great.
Show things
thing
off graphically.
It was an interesting trailer to a game I don't think I'm going to play. And initially when the trailer started, I didn't realize it was Vampire the Masquerade.
No, it just looked like a gruesome horror game.
Because I never played the original. If you want stuff on the original, you listen to the Barrelcast old episodes and they gush over that game. And apparently it's very playable with mods. But when I saw the trailer, the pre-render trailer, and I didn't get that it was a Vampire Masquerade Bloodlines 2, I knew that was coming. And I thought it was a new title. And, oh, good, another horror game that seems to be made by the team that worked on Bioshock. That's really what it looked like, another one of those.
It did look a bit more impressive when it got out into this kind of street scene and you were kind of...
Oh, yeah, the actual gameplay stuff over the pre-render stuff, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. All I know is that vampires love a little jig, apparently.
They do. They love a dance.
If you want to spot a vampire, if you think someone's a vampire, if they just randomly start dancing...
And crawling up buildings as well. That's a good sign.
Yeah, that too.
Could be Spider-Man, though. Don't mistake the two. Vampires, Spider-Man. Easy mistake to make.
Good. Oh, also, at one point, I thought it might be The Darkness Free.
Nice.
Call of the Sea. We got it's more of a gameplay trailer in this one. It looks like a kind of survival type deal where you're first person on an island. There's a million of those out there. But you've got a female narration this time saying about how she survived on the island looking for a man.
It kind of seems like it's like a puzzly kind of, ooh, unravel the mysteries as you solve the puzzles on this island. It looks quite a it's the kind of game I tend to quite like, but is this done or got anything to do with the people who did Journey back in the day?
Well, you think it's got that kind of, had that kind of look when the character came up at the end, but I think that's just that, basically.
Just coincidence.
I think so, as far as I'm aware.
Out of the blue. No, this looks like their first game.
Hey, Out of the Blue is Oxford's premier all-male a cappella group, apparently.
Oh, nice.
Good relevant information, Dan.
Moving on, the Ascent, which this is Curve Digital. I've got a lot of time for Curve Digital stuff,
and I really like the look of this game. Though, like, this was probably the, apart from the one at the top that we said looked quite impressive, this was probably the one I was most interested in. I thought if it is what I think it is, which I don't know what you guys thought, but it looked like a kind of neon
iBot Smash TV vibes.
Neon cyberpunk kind of dungeon crawler, maybe, no?
I kind of got that. It's meant to be a solo and co-op action RPG set in a cyberpunk world.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah,
yeah, so, yeah, all words I like.
Mm. Mash those words all, together.
We're all from the 80s. We like these words.
Yeah.
I'm not from the 80s.
Oh.
And neither's Tim, just you.
I mean, you grew up in the 80s.
But just, yes, I existed in the 80s. 80s.
Yeah, I mean, if this plays a bit like a slightly better version of like the last Marvel thing that was on Switch that I'm forgetting the exact name of at the moment, and kind of, you know,
Jeff Marvel.
Yes, Jeff Marvel. That's exactly it.
Excellent.
No, and like kind of, you know, a Diablo type thing in a cyberpunk universe, like that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as deep as Diablo, but
I'm not expecting it to be as good as the best. But in just the idea of playing that sort of thing in a cyberpunk setting, that appeals to me quite a bit. No,
The Medium was up next. I remember this is going to be coming straight to Game Pass. This is a next gen psychological horror game.
Oh, what a nice departure from the norm for this particular event.
Biggest selling point of it, though, is that the soundtrack is done by the guy who originally did Silent Hill 2.
Certainly is.
Yeah. There you go.
Certainly is.
Scarlet Nexus from Bandai Namco. It's an anime hack and slash.
Oh, dear God, this looks mental.
Well, yeah, it looks impressive. I immediately, they started doing the trailer and went Bandai Namco, and I thought, what variation of anime third person are we getting? Ah, we're going for hack and slash this time.
I mean, when I was watching it, I kind of spent half of it expecting to see Platinum Games' logo come up. Put it that way. It was like, this looks very Platinum Games. But, it's hacky slashy. Weird tentacle stuff.
Reminded me a bit of Astral Chain of recent games as well, basically. Okay.
I was going more, especially when they were in the pre-rendered stuff, I was thinking Code Vein.
Okay. Yeah, I see where you come from.
But then you saw that kind of cyber mask thing come down in front of him at the end.
Cyber mask.
And then you're like, oh, it's volume two.
Oh.
I don't get the weird T-Rex pot plants with killer heels. I don't get that. I felt a bit conflicted about that.
Go up against humanity's greatest foe, pot plants.
No, not the roses. Ah, chrysanthemums.
Yeah, they did seem to be like odd creatures of
dendrons. Yeah. No.
May I read you the quite mad
please do.
Summary of the game?
Yes.
In a far distant future, humanity's last hope falls into the hands of an elite group of psionic warriors who battle an invincible threat known as Others.
Oh.
Unravel the mystery of the brain-punk future caught between technology and psychic abilities in Scarlet Nexus.
Brain-punk. Come on, brain-punk. You know all about brain-punk.
No. Back up there. You're going to have to explain.
I can't believe you don't know what brain-punk is.
Mate, we always listened to brain-punk back in the day.
I love a bit of brain-punk.
Oh, it's Daft Punk. Sorry. Daft Punk.
You're thinking the wrong thing.
Second Extraction, Reclaim Earth. It seems to be a cooperative first-person shooter where you take down dinosaurs. I am all up for that.
Yes.
Yep. Looks good.
Someone made a good dinosaur killing game, please.
Please, can we all go shoot some dinosaurs together?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very violent version of Jurassic Park, basically.
It looks more like a sort of hybrid of Turok and Left 4 Dead, where it's four-player cooperative, but it is essentially just take down waves of dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
I'm well up for that.
Basically, from their title there, are they saying that like humanity kind of faded out or something, or dinosaurs have come
came
back for revenge? That's
they
what
came back. mate, they were just upstairs in the attic having a little snooze in a shoebox with some bits of newspaper
and now we are coming back to revenge the revenge. There's a lot going on in that title.
What was the film where dragons come back from? They're like buried.
How to
under
Train My Dragon?
No. It's Christian Bale. Dragons come back at some kind of excavation project in London, and there's a dragon asleep. And then it's like
really
a post-apocalyptic
like
movie,
film.
But dragons came back. I watched it recently. It holds up. it's a lot better than when I watched it. When it first came out,
that's because you've lowered your expectations sufficiently. Mm-hmm.
It might
enough.
Be Reign of Fire.
Reign of Fire, yes.
Right, okay. Yeah, it's that, but dinosaurs instead of dragons.
I mean, it looks dumb and fun, really. Yeah. And, you know, to be fair, the dinosaurs, frankly, had more of a clue what to do with this planet than we did, if recent history is anything to go by. So,
do I have to have played First Extinction to get Second Extinction?
No, you have to have seen a dinosaur, Tim.
No, you're living it right. You're living that.
Right. We're living right.
But if Second Extinction sells really well, then Third Extinction's Here Come Dragons or There Be Dragons. We're all assuming there.
Extinction Harder is what I'm looking forward to.
How the dragons got their extinction back.
Yep.
Electric extinction.
Extinction Boogaloo.
Yeah, that works better. Yakuza Like a Dragon, I have never before wanted to play a Yakuza game
marvellously insane.
The baseball bat in barbed wire while there's all this psycho colour going off and the mad enemy.
It seemed like he was doing a sword from the stone, sword from the stone references. He was pulling it out as well, basically.
I must say, it's another slightly self-serious Yakuza game. And then I was like, oh,
then
mate.
Went, no, this is a bonkers one.
I didn't know Suda51 made a Yakuza game.
Yeah, I know. It was good. I was really impressed with this. I was really, really happy. That was probably my highlight of the stream, actually. To be fair. Apart from someone's Microsoft Teams background where they replaced their fridge with a giant Xbox X.
Not the at the end, the same guy going, "Oh, look at all the Zoom backgrounds we've got."
Come on, you've seen
there was
those jokes.
So cringy.
Yeah, the dad jokes became a bit painful. Yeah.
Assassin's Creed Valhalla was the last thing. Well, the last thing was a load of stuff talking about the stuff we've already seen. But Assassin's Creed Valhalla, still looking nice. We got gameplay this time. They did a bit more in depth afterwards.
We got gameplay, but it was a kind of blink and you miss it kind of thing, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the annoying thing as well, because this whole Inside Xbox, they've been hyping it for about 2 weeks now, and they've been doing it on the back of going, we're going to show you gameplay on the Xbox Series X. And then last week when they announced Assassin's Creed Valhalla, you'll see gameplay at the next Inside Xbox. And when we finally see it, it's like, oh,
no. And then all the way through the stream, they were like, stay tuned for gameplay of Assassin's Creed. It was like, okay.
Well, even the video they did show, the footage they did show, there was like those usual disclaimers on the bottom. Go, hey, look, this is an aspirational goal of what we'd like it to look like.
I'm not one for throwing game sites and game reporters and stuff under the bus because, it's a hard job.
But you're going to.
I'm going to anyway. So straight after, and I think I referenced this last week, but I didn't kind of say who did. But IGN have a story up that says, this is actually what Assassin's Creed Valhalla looks like, and none of the screenshots look like their actual screenshots. They all look like they've been gussied up, painted over, photoshopped, and like much like, again, I referenced this last week, Far Cry 5, when if you look at the official screenshots that they show for them games, none of them are screenshots. They're all doctored to look so nice and shiny. And that's exactly what the Assassin's Creed Valhalla screenshots look like at the moment.
Man, I missed 2013.
Yeah, we could go outside.
I don't want to go outside, Tim. Don't want to.
Well, no, in 2013 we could, though. It was a point.
Oh, yes, it's true. Ah, the heady days of made-up video footage. Because that was all the brouhaha about Watch Dogs, wasn't it, back then?
Oh, God.
I think you went to an E3 around that time, Tim, I think, if memory serves.
Quite possibly.
Points of interest, chaps.
Yes, please, interest my points.
Coolio. So, Evo 2020 has been cancelled.
Oh.
Couldn't they do it online?
Well, the organisers announced that it's been cancelled. It was meant to take place from July 21st to August the 2nd in Las Vegas, Nevada. That's now not happening. And instead, they're going to keep the Evo spirit alive by holding an online tournament, well, which I don't think's like an official... I mean, it's official in the name of Evo. It's not an Evo tournament. It's sort of an online invitational is what they're looking at, because...
Lag.
How can you... Well, yeah, lag, disconnection problems, anything like that at all. I listened to Giant Bomb earlier in the day. I liked their idea where they went, hey, why not hold a digital event where it's kind of a free-for-all invitation, you know, anyone can enter, and the winner gets to go to the next Evo expenses paid kind of thing, because getting into Evo and being a participant is bloody expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So anyway, I like that idea. But it is going to go digital in some format. We don't have the details yet. When we do, we'll talk about it on this here segment. GDC, they were going for the summer GDC because the previous one had been delayed thanks to COVID.
It's looks easy as 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Also, because of COVID, we're not now getting that version of GDC. Instead, they're going digital only. No word yet if that's going to mean that all the initial people that have had to pull out, like Hideo Kojima, to do their talks will be coming back, because now it is digital. It makes things easier. I'd assume so. We'll, again, find out down the road.
Well, what I'm really hoping is that they kind of like, that they're going to make a lot more of a thing like the kind of dev sessions and stuff like that, make them advertise them quite well. So yeah. I know GDC are generally pretty good about putting some of the dev streams up after the event, but it would be good to see, like, even EGX stuff do that, make more of the kind of the dev commentary and the dev insight, because that would be a really interesting and I think a really nice way to kind of use all the effort that they put into an event like this.
Yeah. Anyway, if you're interested in summer GDC, that's going to run from August the 4th to the 6th. No word on if there is streams of the whole thing going along, or if it is still a very paying to get the information or what the hell's going on with it. But we'll find out later. Also, on that same vein, EA have announced the digital-only EA Play, which will coincide with the Summer of Gaming, which I think is an IGN event they're working on. You've got two mentions in one show. There you go. That's going to happen on June the 11th from 9 a.m. British Summer Time on the 12th of June, sorry. So 11th of June in the US, 12th of June in the UK. They're going to show games through a live broadcast, community content, and more.
Think of next? I mean, as generic announcements of what they're going to do go, that's up there, isn't it?
Expect Madden and expect FIFA.
Yeah, well, yeah, the FIFA, Madden, maybe not Star Wars.
Skate 3 Mobile.
Titanfall something.
Do they have a Battlefield this year?
Ooh, there might be a due one.
Maybe.
And also maybe a Jedi Fallen Order 2 announcement. I don't know if you saw there was new content for Jedi Fallen Order this week as well.
Yeah, free DLC. You can get the Sith Inquisitor outfit. There's trial modes and stuff. And all looks very good.
It's been a while since I've dipped my toe into the murky waters of that game. But
thing is, once I beat it, and usually that's the point where you go, okay, I'm going to go tidy up in the game and do some other bits. I don't want to go back to it unless there's more stories.
Yeah.
I'm good. I think we're more likely, if there is going to be Jedi Fallen Order news, then it would be DLC for the expansion for the current game rather than a new game straight off.
Yeah, possibly.
Got a couple of delays. First of all, now this one's rumoured, reported on from VentureBeat and Eurogamer. They seem to think that the Nintendo annual June Direct, which they do to coincide with the E3 time, that's actually been pushed back as Nintendo employees need to adjust to the work from home orders. Also, Nintendo has reportedly told partners...
Maybe you should remember how to wear trousers again.
Yeah. Nintendo's also reportedly told partners that they need more time to develop their first party games. So... we're not sure. We'll see what goes on with Nintendo's live stream. They haven't actually announced their direct stream for E3, so...
Well, which is unusual, because usually they're well ahead of it, aren't they?
Yeah, you'd imagine it's probably a moving problem.
And then one that might, you know, it might not affect you, it might affect you. In a statement, the wonderful 101 remaster team have announced that the physical versions of their game have been pushed back to June 30th in North America and the 3rd of July in Europe. However, if you want a digital, however, if you want a digital version of the game, it will be available from the 19th of March in North America and May the 22nd in Europe.
Yeah!
I want to buy this game.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you do love a bit Wonderful 101, though, don't
no,
you?
No, I didn't play it. I didn't play it on
did
the
you?
Wii. No, because there was massive queues for EGX, and it came out on the Wii U when I didn't have a Wii U, and I never got round to picking up when I did have a Wii U, so pick it up on the Switch, I guess.
Yeah, I wasn't that impressed with the demo and just never picked up, but a lot of people really love it, so maybe I should give it another try.
It's a lovely platinum game. And I watched the whole thing on the design. Like, there's an hour video out there of the whole design process of how they come up with the Wonderful 101 and the initial idea. Like, there's about three games before the Wonderful 101 that kept getting slapped down before they actually came up with this idea. And then even then, there's loads of changes that are made to the game before the finished product. So I'd be interested to actually play the game itself and see how we get along with that. A couple of announcements. Well, fair few announcements this week. First of all, NASCAR Heat 5 will be available from the 10th of July on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC. And also, oh, and you'll be able to have 40-player online races. There'll also be a gold edition of NASCAR Heat 5 that will launch on the 7th of July. Who would like to explain the rules of NASCAR?
Drive left. Turn left.
There you go,
all,
you did it.
All the left turning. Also, optional infidelity with your sister.
There you go. There's a new first-person psychological horror game set in high school called What Happened? Without a question mark, which really annoys me. And that is due for release
on
PC.
What happened to the question mark, Coleman?
I don't know. Maybe that's the mystery of the game. So that's going to release on PC via Steam in July, and console versions will be due out following, which they haven't given the actual date out yet. Tim's going to be excited because Vader Immortal, yeah, a Star Wars VR series, has been confirmed. Initially, this was an Oculus exclusive. This has now been confirmed to come to the PlayStation VR.
Yeah, all three games in one thing. I don't know how much it will be yet, but yeah, like I was a bit curious because I wasn't sure if this was going to be just an Oculus Quest kind of exclusive. So good news that it is actually coming to the platform, and yeah, it looks decent and supposed to be not brilliant but fun. So yeah, I will take that.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be all right.
Yeah,
I mean, it hasn't. Yeah. Star Wars has got certainly the more kind of lightsabery based things, which you would kind of expect this to be, haven't got a great track record of being that enjoyable. But you know,
yeah,
be
I
Star
think
Wars
we need better
VR.
Move controllers before this will be great on PSVR. Well, that's my other concern, is the Move controllers on PSVR with this. But we'll see. I'll reserve judgment until I play it, because I will definitely play this at some point.
I think looking at £25 to £30.
Yes, so do I.
£25 to £30?
I would imagine.
What is this? Coleman's Price is Right.
£24.99, but we'll see. There might be some Star Wars tax.
On the PC versions for each episode, they are $7.99 each. So I reckon $25.30 for the PlayStation VR, that's a reasonable price. That's coming out in the summer.
Is an awfully specific price, Con. I don't know why it'd be 30p.
It's not specific. He's given himself a whole 500 pence of range. That is some range. Uh-huh. It's not like, I think it's going to be between
£20.95
and £20.99.
And 30 pence before we spend any more time.
I'm so glad I tried to add extra content to this.
Yeah. See what that initiative gets you. When will you learn, Coleman? When will you learn?
We haven't got an exact date, but yeah, summer at some point. Disintegration, if you remember, this is one of the guys that worked on Halo and went off to make his own game with Private Division and VR1 Interactive. They finally got a launch date now. It's going to be June the 16th on PC and consoles, well, Xbox and PlayStation, and that will be digital only, no physical version announced at the moment. Possibly because of COVID, possibly because of budget, who knows? But this is the weird, mad, you're on a flying hover cycle thing shooting people in first person.
Yep.
Has anyone tried this game? Because there's been betas and stuff out.
No.
I must admit, I haven't.
I recognise the name, but
it was announced at E3 last year, and there was a trailer where the guy's talking lovingly to his vehicle, and then someone else walks in like, you talking to your bike? That's weird. It was all very Cade 6.
You can definitely see the nods to kind of Bungie's style of doing things without shadow of a doubt. Yeah, I'll be interested to see it. I mean, I don't know how much of it is going to be style over substance, but, you know, it looks like it could be a larf.
And lastly, Mortal Kombat 11 is getting an expansion called Aftermath. This contains an extra story that, and also, if you've not played Mortal Kombat 11 and you're interested in playing Mortal Kombat 11, don't watch the trailer. It is literally, they start with the end of the story. So don't watch that. The expansion adds new story to the end of that story, so it continues where it left off. Adds in some of the DLC characters into the story that have been released past the game's release.
I've got, by the way, I've got one word, two syllables.
Mm-hmm.
RoboCop, that's all I'm going
to
say.
That's what I was getting to. There's going to be new characters, Fujin, which I won't explain because they're privy to the story. Shiva, which was kind of like the female Goro character from the previous games, and RoboCop, which is madness, and I love it. And also, as well as the paid expansion, there's going to be a free update on May the 26th for all players. That's going to add in the new stages from the story mode, stage fatalities, and friendships, which have been missing from this game. And they do... I've watched a few of them, but they show one in the trailer and it's Scorpion doing his get over here, throws off the chain, pulls it towards him, and instead of the bad guy, it's a massive cuddly teddy bear, which is very cute. The problem I have with this, and it's a problem I have with every time NetherRealm and Warner Brothers get together and release a game, they release a full-fledged game. So if you bought Mortal Kombat 11 from launch, you spent about £50 for that game. If you then wanted the expansion pass to get all the characters, well, you could buy all the characters piecemeal at $7.99, I think it was, for each character.
That does not sound like a good deal, Coleman.
It's not a great deal, but you could get the expansion pass, which I think was about £30. So let's say you've just spent £80 on Mortal Kombat 11 off the bat to get all the characters.
Yeah.
And then they go, 1 year later, here's the Aftermath expansion. Do you know how much that's going to cost you?
How much?
£35.
35.
£35. However, if you were biding your time, and I suggest you do this if you are interested in Mortal Kombat.
That's what I do with all their games these days. But hey, the problem is I've now played yours. But
well, you should do this with Mortal Kombat, and you should do this with Injustice. You should hold out for the second version of the game to come out, because if you want everything, the expansion pass, the regular game, and the... all the DLC and stuff that was initially launched, £50.
Wowzers.
By Grab Dice Hammer.
That's, I might have to jump on that.
What a savings.
That's brilliant for new customers. That is a kick in the dick for hardcore fans.
Dude,
in all fairness,
how did you think I felt when they made most of Destiny 2 free to play?
It's the exact same thing. Bungie did this with Destiny 1. If you bought Destiny 1 and you went, okay, what was the big expansion, the one that kind of fixed everything? Return of King? Taken King. You could get Taken King as an expansion, but for £5 more, you could get all the previous expansions and the full game.
But to be fair, you have had a year's worth of playing that game. It's not like there wasn't a lot of... we can have criticisms about Destiny, and let's put that to one side, lack of story.
Yeah, many of which are fair at the moment.
But then Mortal Kombat, I would say you got a fair amount of game in there. I know they do charge extra for the characters and stuff, but I don't... They do deliver with those characters as well. There's not, there's not been one set of characters where there's been... there might be a character you don't like so much, but there's not, bad additions to the roster, basically.
At the end of the day, I can have Terminator versus RoboCop, so it's going to be fine.
That's what I was going to say. Like, Terminator versus RoboCop is, in Mortal Kombat, that's an 80s dream come true.
And if you have Terminator versus RoboCop on the Mega Drive, go to the cheat selection and type in camouflage. Some of the best cheats never leave us. That's all the news we got this week.
There's a lot of news. Quite a lot of news. That's what we've done played, boys.
Tim, you've been playing Invisible.
Indivisible,
which I've really wanted to play since demoing it about a year and a half ago. Picked it up on the Switch and just haven't got round to it because I finally finished Pokemon, but now I can play it.
So tell me, what is this game?
It's a kind of... it's an active time battling type system in a RPG with a bit of kind of platforming in the in-between sections, basically. And yeah, like, some of the platforming is slightly unforgiving, and the combat, especially at first when you're looking at it, it looks a bit hectic and not exactly tactical. But it's a really interesting system that works quite well, and I quite like the combat. Basically, you've got 4 different characters on screen, and you can swap characters in and out of your party, but they correspond to the 4 face buttons, basically. So, for example, you'd have your lead character, say, on the X button. And if you want to attack, you have to have your kind of like, you know, meter filled to attack, but you can have up to 3 attacks, or I currently have up to 3 attacks that you can stack and attack with. But also to defend.
A full stack attack!
Yeah.
Full stack attack!
To defend an attack from the opposition, and you know who it's being attacked.
You gotta whack the attack!
There's kind of lines drawn on the screen from the enemy that are facing the person that it's about to attack. And some attacks
will attack track of the attack.
Your whole party, whereas some attacks will attack everyone in one line or just one individual. And if you can guard with the whole party at once, but doing that costs you your special bar, which you also use to kind of give you health back as well, basically. So if you block too much, you can't get health back, basically, or if you overblock. And you can choose to block with one individual character, and that will, because if you block with the whole party, everyone's kind of meters aren't refilling to get more attacks. So
get
it's
back
a,
from the attack.
It's a disadvantage to do that most of the time, basically. So yeah, it leads to you kind of having to pay attention to which enemy is attacking and which enemy and which person you're attacking with. Also, you've kind of got like, even though it's only a 1 button for each party member, you can modify their attacks by pressing up or down when you do it. And various different characters will have different results of doing that, basically. For example, there's one healer that I've just recently picked up where she creates puddles in the environment with her 2 basic attacks. But then to activate those puddles, you have to press up an attack, and it, in activating those puzzles, when your characters move through them, they gain health, and when the opponents move through them, they actually suffer damage. And yeah, like, it's got various different like kind of formations that you can make with that, and various different ways of doing things. It kind of has this system where it's best to kind of try and keep the enemy occupied, so you don't necessarily want to be completely just hammering the buttons to do attacks whenever you can. And in fact, that seems to slow it down a bit, I think. But you want to be kind of timing your attacks with the different people, and different people will have, like, you'll have a character that's quite strong but has slow attacks, and then another character like your archer that has very rapid attacks, and his kind of meters refill much more quickly. So you can do his attacks rapidly to start with, do everyone else's slower attacks, and then go back to his attacks to kind of extend the length of time that you're attacking the enemy. And yeah, like, as I said, it can feel a bit unforgiving at first, and it can be take a bit of getting used to, just because it's a bit different to anything else that I've played with that before. But I quite like what it's doing, and I quite like the resulting combat of it being quite active, and you have to pay attention to what's going on, but also being a nice tactical depth to it, basically.
Because one of the criticisms I've heard about this game is that it's almost in some ways trying to do too much, and it ends up being a jack of all trades and a master of none, for want of a better way of putting it.
Yeah, and, well, you know me, I prefer the kind of non-platforming sections of the game. Like, I prefer...
Really? Say it ain't so. Next you're going to be telling me you like, yeah, VR and are quite partial to Rise.
To the platforming sections. But most of those aren't too hard. Sometimes it's a bit obtuse to know where you have to go to at that time, and where you can and cannot get back to, and actually finding your way around the levels and stuff. At the moment, I've been stuck on one bit for a while just because I can't see where I can get to from the environment that I'm stuck in, basically. But generally, the platforming has been like, okay, that's a bit of a challenge, but not like, okay, that's really tough. There was one section where you had to kind of like repeatedly get through like a platforming section, and then a battle with a boss, and then a platforming section. And then if you failed on any of the 3 like platforming sections or boss sections that they were kind of stacked up on each other, like you failed at the last boss section, for example, you went all the way back down to the beginning. And that was a bit like, really? Because most of the stuff seems fairly forgiving. There is a kind of health system, but if you die in one area on a kind of platforming bit, it tends to let you resurrect and just come back there and just try again. So it's, you know, it's got a reasonable system for kind of forgiving that kind of stuff the way around. I also like really quite like the art style, which is one of the things that attracted me to it in the first place. It's got a kind of anime presentation of the kind of cutscenes. The characters are a bit kind of, you know, one side of the screen and not like animated, but, you know, different poses and stuff. And they're talking to another character on the other side of the screen. So a lot of the kind of character interaction is done that way, but they've got kind of more bigger cutscenes are all in a kind of anime style that looks quite nice.
It reminds me of Dragon's Crown, but which was a Vita game, which seemed like it was a kind of side-scrolling game that seemed like it should be an RPG, but it was a hack and slash. This seems like it's a platformer that seems like it should be a hack and slash, but it's an RPG. So it's kind of got that going for it.
Yeah, as I said, I really like the combat and what they've done with that. I just wish they found a slightly different sort of in between things for that. I don't mind the platforming, but you know me, I prefer to just have the, you know, the combat and wandering around and stuff. But I don't dislike it for that. Basically, the other thing that I really really like about it is the humor, the character, and the voice acting is really good. Basically, and that has kept me engaged with the game enough that I want to kind of see where it goes and see where some of the story threads are leading now and that type of stuff. Particularly I can't remember what they call her. I think it's, they refer to her as a witch in the game, basically. But she's basically a really sullen, kind of dour, sarcastic kind of witch. But she's wearing the skin of a tiger that she's taken the soul from and trapped in a lantern that she holds, basically. Really odd character, but I love her to bits. She's every time she's on the screen, and every time I get a chance to interact with her, everything she said makes me laugh. Basically, she's just really, as I said, really kind of sassy. She's like kind of everything. She's like, "Oh, we're gonna die," really negative, like dour things, but in a really done in a really funny and kind of a way that really just kind of tickles me. So yeah, as I said, there's things that I would have done differently, and some people may not take to the kind of the style of the combat as much as I have, but yeah, I've really enjoyed it in that respect, and I've enjoyed it just playing it because it's been making me chuckle and then having enjoying combats and bits of platforming here and there. And yeah, I kind of, it feels slightly disjointed in some ways in terms of the like going from the combat to the platforming and back and forth, as I said, I could have not taken that, but generally I've been enjoying playing the game, and it's been one that I would advise having a look at, basically.
But you know, Common, it's you're never going to see it 25% off.
Why is that?
It's Indivisible.
Would you like to know a couple of things about Indivisible?
Yes, please.
Right, first of all, it's available on Games with Gold, so if you want to play that on either Xbox or Dan, PC, you can play it. Also, you might be thinking, hold on, I didn't know Indivisible was coming out on the Switch. There was no trailers to say so.
Indivisible was coming
there
out
was
on
no,
the
Switch. There was no PR emails.
There was no PR emails.
So this was all queued up to go out live on the Nintendo eShop, and Nintendo accidentally launched it 2 weeks early. And it wasn't the full version that they were meant to be launching. They just launched like a previous...
Damn it, Nintendo.
Yeah, not unfinished version. So, yeah. But you got a discount if you picked it up at that stupidly early time. So I went for that. So
The subject of things appearing on Game Pass and Games of Gold, etc., etc., I was all poised to pick up Streets of Rage 4 on the PlayStation, yes. But I actually got it with as part of Game Pass.
Oh, is it? Is it on PC?
Yeah.
All right. Hold on. I can play you both.
Yep. But not at the
we
same
can't play
time.
Together. But we can play separately.
Never
it's a pity,
the twain shall
meet. Because I really want to get a four-player game going.
If it's on Game Pass...
There's three of us, Colin.
Oh, we can all do it. Yeah, I know, but I want to get a four-player. We need a fourth. No?
Yeah, but can we play cross-platform?
Yeah,
we'll look into that after the show.
Okay.
Good. Can I do my one?
Yes. Yeah, you do your one.
All right, so I got sent a copy of Spuds Unearthed for the PlayStation VR.
This is just best name ever.
Sounds silly. I like it already.
10 ounce barrels out of barrels.
Now, I was going to talk about this last week, but I booted up the game before the show and I just didn't know what was happening. Because this game is, for all intents and purposes, this was an early access game on PC version to VR. And it's it kind of took its cues from Minecraft, where they went, here's a game, you work it out. And that's exactly how this played. Now, the PSVR version, this is the full version, so it's slightly different. There are no menus to speak of in this game. Aww. Sorry, Tim.
There is VR in it, mate. It's all right.
But there are tutorial bubbles that pop up, which is really annoying, because if you hit triangle, it'll go, welcome to Spuds Unearthed, here's a bunch of stuff. And then you have to click through like 14 different screens. However, you can keep hitting it and it will keep going and hit it by accident and go, right, now to go through 14 screens and back to the game. Cool. Anyway, I was doing that. Oh, 14 screen. Right. Okay. Back through 14 screen and back to the game. Anyway, that may be. The game is a mixture of a kind of basic RTS with a god game. And all in a VR setting. And
I was getting a bit of a Tower Defense vibe from it as well, actually.
A bit of Tower Defense in there as well. So when you boot it up, you spawn into a little town where you are surrounded with which works as kind of your hub for weapons and vehicles and also upgrades. But there's also these little potato people that are walking around, little spud people, and they're your people. And your aim is to go out and get more people and to build the town up. To begin with, you just have one, and he's a kind of soldier. And then you can hit, through everyone's favorite, which is you pull the lever up, put the handprint scanner on, and then everything changes. It takes you away from the town and into a spaceship in the sub-dwelling below levels. So you go there and you've got a little map of planets, and you grab a planet and you'll put it in your scanner, and then that's your level. You'll go off to that planet.
Scan it.
Yep. Different planet sizes mean that it's a harder level. So larger, harder, smaller, easier. Once you go off to that planet, you're then...
I thought you were going for a Daft Punk callback there for a moment. But
smaller, easy, harder, bigger. Yeah. Spudman got a gun, here we go. So when you go into the level...
Spuds, that sounds like a bit of a smash hit.
That's when the RTS kind of system starts. And you've got waves of enemies that are coming after you, which are usually Zombuds, which are green spud people.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, and they have these green crystals sticking out of them. And them and little rolling bombs will come towards your ship. And if they hit you, they'll take your shield down. The idea is you've got two turrets, which you can move around and put them wherever you want, but they're kind of crank turrets that you use to shoot bad guys. And you keep the waves at bay.
Please tell me they're called spud guns.
They're just guns.
Aren't they called spud guns?
At any moment, you can grab your little spud guy and throw him out into the battlefield. So the one that I got to begin with, he's like a little gun soldier. He can shoot people if they're in a certain radius, and he will help you. He's also once he's done, he'll come back to the ship, and then you can grab him, throw him back out into a different direction, and that's literally how you use the spud.
What does he have to say about this conundrum?
He's got kind of a crazy smile to him, so I think he likes it.
Fair enough.
He's also got a health bar and a shield bar.
Oh,
and
bless him.
Those all replenish when they're in the ship, but they can be depleted when they're out. You can have three of these spud people as you unlock as the game progresses. I've got a gun one. I've got two with like helmets on. And if you throw them out, they kind of stamp on the ground and just knock people back that are around them and damage them slightly. I find that very helpful. And the further you progress into this game, you unlock tokens, which unlock different things in the game. They can be used to upgrade your little spud friends, or they can be used in different variations of the turrets. So to begin with, it's a kind of crank handle that fires bullets. You can have a larger ammo supply. You can have a faster bullet supply. You can change that to bombs, to fire, flamethrowers, that kind of stuff. But you can also...
So if you use a flamethrower, can you burn people to a crisp?
Possibly. Who knows?
I thank you.
roast potato. And also you can unlock vehicles for the Spud people. So you don't just grab a Spud person and throw him out to the battleground. No. You pick up a plane, you grab the Spud person, you put him in a plane, and then you throw it like a kind of paper plane.
Paper plane. Nice. Yeah.
And it goes off and he does aerial combat, or you can stick one in a tank. And those you don't throw. You have to let them go out on their own.
I was kind of hoping it was going to be like, you know, remember like those cars you got when you were a kid where you had to kind of keep pulling them back and then let them go.
Oh, that would have been a really good... Right, developers,
wouldn't that be the cool little mechanic?
That's a really cool mechanic. I wish I'd... yeah, it's very good. The game itself, it's not an easy game to jump in. I mean, when they sent me this, like I said, I loaded it up and I just didn't know what was happening. And I loaded up a medium game instead of an easy. And it's not one of those things where you go and go, oh, I'll play the medium because I want to jump in and, you know, I've played games. You have to start with easy to get some tokens behind you, unlock some things before you go into the harder modes, because the harder they are, you'll have little guys on the ground and you won't have any planes to shoot down the planes above you, and you've got to do it all with the crank turret, and it just doesn't work because they're so hard to hit with a turret. It's a game that you really need to progress on. Also, different levels can be obtained by other people, so they'll take the token in the game or they'll take it over, and then there's no prize for you, but you can take it over from them just to kind of go, got your planet. It's not an easy game to jump into. There is a lot to learn, so I suggest before picking up the game for yourself, take a look at the game, trailers and stuff, see if you like it. If you want to go in for it, I suggest reading a couple of the game, just take a look at the game's forum first, or look on YouTube. There are people that have not just done reviews, but they have also done like an introduction onto how to play the game, just to get you the basics and see, because I've not scratched the surface with the stuff you can do on this game. And I'm really, really enjoying it. It's kind of my lunch break game at the moment. I've just popped the headset on and muck around with little Spud people, but they're very cute, and it's a very good game.
I'm sounded far creepier than you meant it. Good for you.
Not an RTS person. It's a very kind of basic RTS. I do like God games. It's a good amalgamation. I really, really like this game. So
RTS Rambo Tater Simulator.
I believe it's $7.99 if you're looking to pick this up on PSVR.
Makes me think someone should make a kind of, and this sounds like it might be a little ode to that anyway, but a kind of Lemmings VR game, no? Picking up the people and giving them different jobs or moving them
if
around.
Only Psygnosis still existed.
Yes.
Yeah.
If only.
Someone must own the Lemmings license. Something with it. Someone get on that. Lemmings VR.
I think Sony must, yeah, Sony I must think own Sony's the Lemmings now. License.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. PSVR. Let's do it.
Because Psygnosis became Sony Liverpool, didn't they?
Yes. I believe Lemmings a couple of months ago had a mobile game that came out, which I installed and then looked at all the reviews and uninstalled because it looked very egregious.
See, that'd be good on the Switch, but anyway.
Right, we've got to talk about Gunpig because we've been putting it off for 2-3 weeks now. Yes. I played Gunpig. Dan's played a little bit of Gunpig. I figured out my problems. I took out my... Apparently, PlayStation Goose. Controllers now work. I took away my PlayStation controller, stuck in an Xbox controller. Everything's hunky-dory. Works fine. Top-down twin-stick shooter. You're a pig in a craft.
And you're a pig in a craft.
You're a pig in a craft. You have to shoot bad guys, and you pick up different food types. Different food types give you different weapons. My favorite at the moment is the pistachio and the peanuts.
I'm quite partial to the peanut.
Yeah, peanut works very well as well. There's not really a lot in depth we can go into with this game, but this harkens back to a million Amiga games I played as a kid and absolutely loved. So I'm really into this game, and it is a good little waste of time. You know, you just got 10 minutes to spare, stick on Gunpig, do some shooting. I don't know how you found the experience, Dan.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, it's really nice to see, again, I know we talked about this already with the resurgence of the one person in their bedroom making a game. And, it's nice to see these kind of one person... Studios is a bit of a lofty way to put it, but you know what I mean, that one person can still make and release a game. And I think that's pretty cool. And, I'd be really interested just to hear a bit more about how one person can make a game in this day and age. I mean, I think he built it on Unity,
yes.
I think.
Yeah, it looks like a Unity tile.
And it'd be really cool to just find out a bit more about how that enables you to kind of explore kind of a creative vision and, you know, take a hobby project from just an idea to actually being released. So, I mean, it's a good little fun little 10-minute diversion. Certainly it's stupid in a lovable way. There we go. There's your box quote. Stupid in a lovable way.
I like that it's a pig.
Yes.
I don't know what
there's
that
your
means.
Other box quote.
I like that it's a pig, Chris Coleman. I will say again, Neil LaPointe made this game. He's one of our listeners. He contacted us to go, hey, I made this game. And I went, excellent. I'm going to buy your game to show support. Don't all expect that if you're making games, by the way. And he went, oh, cool. Thanks for the shout. I got a code for Dan. So he sent Dan a code. So Dan's got a code. I bought mine. There we go. It's $7.99 on itch.io, which I believe is $6.49 in the UK. So you can pick it up yourself. And also, Neil LaPointe's on our Discord, and he did put a thing in the, what do we call it? Stuff We Done Made?
Stuff We Done Made.
Yeah, something like that. There's one of the chat rooms. He's in there. He's put a link to the game. You can probably ask him questions about the game in there. It'll be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed
We've
it.
We've totally volunteered you for stuff there, Neil, but don't mind. Yeah. So say hello to Neil.
Yeah, say hello to Neil. Hello, Neil.
Hello, Neil.
Yeah. That's all the games we done did played. It I mean, is. There's more, but we're so out of time.
I know, we are. So we are egregiously out of time. Mm-hmm. Which just takes us to the remaining other bits, the dangling fruit that no one's quite sure what to do with. But first and most importantly, we love a charity stream here at BRB UK.
I love a charity stream.
I know you love a charity stream, mate. You love a charity stream. But at any time in May, you can stream and help raise money for British Red Cross in supporting their COVID-19 response. If you go to codered.lpages.co/COVID-19R, we'll put a link in the show notes. You can do your 19 hours at any time during May. It doesn't need to be in one go. They've got all of the fundraising goodies that you need to go from there, including getting signed up with Tiltify. And if you feel like doing a little bit for COVID-19 whilst you're enjoying the thrilling world of lockdown, you know, this might be a nice way just to say thank you to people who day in, day out are putting their lives on the line. So if you are going to get involved with this, let us know. It's something I may well get involved with as well. And if there's a couple of us, it'd be good to do some streaming.
Yeah. I've got another one as well. It's another one of our listeners, Pete Linzel, got in contact with all three of us on Twitter. And he wanted to just get a shout for the gaming event he's doing, which is for Save Point, for the Edinburgh Children's Hospital charity. You can go and donate to his pledge over at, and it's a long URL, but I'll try and get through this. spbonuslevel.everydayhero.com/UK/team-march-bank-save-point-fundraising.
But the good news is donating money to a worthy cause is much easier than typing in the URL. Yeah. So once you're there, you know, the hard bit's done with. So you've got no excuse not to contribute if you can.
Alternatively, I think you can find Pete Linzel on Twitter at tweetlinzel, all one word.
Ah, what he did there, I see it.
Very clever.
Very droll.
I'm sure he would have put a link to his own charity stream there. Yeah, so yeah. Go do that.
Also, just a quick update on Gosh, they are looking to get even more people to do the kind of geek out for Gosh kind of campaign that we got going, because at the moment they're taking more children from hospitals around London to kind of free up beds for COVID-19 patients, but it's at the same time that their funding has dropped massively because they can't do a lot of their fundraising events at the moment.
Right.
So if it's something you can help contribute to, as we said, you can do your own streaming, you can just kind of help support someone else's stream, or help in making a donation to someone else that is streaming. I've still been up in the air with my business in the last couple of weeks, so I haven't really had a chance to kind of lock down what I'm doing with this, but I do want to do something at some point in the future. Anyone else that's doing anything for this, give me a shout and I'll help kind of get the message out if you want to do it.
But yeah, let us know. Yeah, we'll put it in the show.
Geek out for Gosh on Twitter and Facebook and other places, and you can check it out on kind of Gosh's homepage and stuff as well. But yeah, as we said, it's a real sort of hard time for hospital charities at the moment and stuff as well. So anything you can do to contribute in to any of these things that we just mentioned or anything else is a positive contribution that you can make. And if you can afford to do that with either your time or your money at the moment, both will be appreciated. So please do so.
Those are three acceptable and brilliant charity suggestions you can go for. And also you can contribute to this show by giving us feedback. So people have been on the Discord. We've got it every week. Sky Dark via Discord. He says, question of the week. May the 4th be with you. A little bit past that now. What is everyone's favorite Star Wars game? Tim.
I can't do it. I can't seriously Dan. Say Masters of Terrakazi.
Star Wars on the SNES.
Star Wars on the Super Star Wars on the SNES.
Super Star Wars on the Super SNES.
Right, Tim again.
I was going to make a joke about the whole Terrakazi thing, but hey, just, you know, ignore that. And yeah, I don't know. There's a few good ones. I think I really liked Jedi Fallen Order in the end. I had some issues while playing it along the way, but I think that really kind of delivered on a good Jedi game. Jedi Knight 2 was another favorite during the time, and I really liked the first Force Unleashed. So I'm not sure which one can take with between those two.
Games. Only this man can take. You say one title, and he's like, "I've got this wrong." I remember back in the day.
It was 1993.
I remember correctly on the Spectrum. So there was a line graphic.
Right, but there's been so many Star Wars games throughout history, and it's really hard to compare some of them.
Yoda stories,
time and, you know. Yeah. But hey.
Star Wars Kinect on the Xbox 360. Thank you.
Boom.
See, troll answer.
No, toss up between Jedi Fallen Order and Star Wars The Force Unleashed 1, special very edition good. With all the DLC and stuff. I know they get a lot of flack, but I love both those games very much. Spicy Chris via Discord. Dr. Dan, can you confirm this? He has sent a picture of what looks like a telegraph box that says 5G is a weapon.
Okay, if you are referring to 5G as in the fifth character in Street Fighter V's third DLC season,
obviously he is.
He is indeed a weapon, and he's also a bit of a unit.
Wow.
But is 5G as in mobile phone telecommunications a weapon?
Yeah.
No.
Right.
Okay.
5G causes coronavirus. It is a headline that we've seen in a lot of places that is complete and utter nonsense. But anyone that is worried about 5G or wants to spread any rumors about 5G, I have very, very worrying news for you about sunlight.
Yeah.
It's much, much harsher
also, radon
than 5G
gas,
signals.
That's everywhere.
And can actually give you cancer. So whatever
breathing
you do,
is also bad
if
for
you believe
you,
in
if you do enough
5G masks and kind of going out, and especially if you believe in wrecking these things, you should stay indoors at all times.
After the lockdown.
Forever.
You're not allowed to come out
if it's just never go out ever again.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, technically, you could... you know, you're exposed to all kinds of stuff during the day. You know, like I glibly said, you could probably prove that continuing to breathe is bad for you. Because if you can't, you know, if you continue to breathe, then you're inhaling things from the atmosphere, and some of those might do bad things for you. And, oh my God, I should stop breathing so I don't die. Oh, wait, hang on.
Also, I don't know if I'm slightly incorrect about this, but from what I understand of what I've read, which I stand to be corrected on, there isn't a true, proper 5G signal been turned on in this country yet. It's essentially an enhanced 4G signal at the moment, basically, from what I understand. But, anyway. Yeah, it's all complete and utter
horseshit.
You're
both really good at taking a joke post and turning it into a serious conversation. Can I give a last plug before we go?
Please do.
Cool. There's a YouTube channel, which I've only recently discovered. They're called Ahoy. It's one guy. He's called Ahoy. Or Retro Ahoy. You can find him on YouTube. He's been doing his channel for something like 10 years, but he does these really in-depth video game-based documentaries. And they are some of the best content I've ever seen on YouTube.
I think I've seen some of them before, I think. Yeah.
Most probably. It gets about. But anyway, he's got a new video called Explosive Barrels. And dives into the history of explosive barrels, particularly big red barrels, and where they originated from in video games. And it is 20 minutes long, worth a watch.
Yeah, I saw that come up on my thing. So either I subscribe to him or whatever. But yes, I've definitely seen some of his stuff before. It's good. And I did see that come up. I don't think I've watched it yet. You just reminded me you need to go and watch
it. So, yeah. It's very good. Also, if you've got the time, I think it's like 45 minutes long, go watch the Amiga retrospective. It's brilliant.
Yes, that might be one of the things I saw. Yeah, anyway. Yeah.
We are going to go.
Yes, let's do that.
Let's do that.
I think we should. So make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com, twitter.com/bigredbarrel, facebook.com/bigredbarrel, or a completely incomprehensible Discord URL, which means you should probably just go to bigredbarrel.com and click on a little Discord linky poo in the...
Or go to Discord and search Big Red Barrel. That works.
You could also do that. Mm. We have a Discord. It's lovely in there. People talk to each other. You can say hello to us. I may even respond if I haven't had middle-aged amnesia that day.
I may actually become active on it one day.
I'm always on there, but I'd like to say, if you could, recommending this show to your friends and getting them to subscribe, that'd be a really good thing. Like if someone's into podcast or they know of podcasts and they just don't know where to start, just go. You've got a podcast app. Just give me your phone. I'll UK and podcast.
Just
subscribe.
Download this for you.
Just do it. Mm-hmm. If you've got an elderly relative that doesn't know how to work their phone, just install a podcast app and then subscribe to it. Just get our numbers up. Come on.
No, seriously, just replace all of their, you know, those books that old people get, like kind of the red, that you know, the read out books. It's a bit like kind of, well, obviously Audible, but for old people. Mm. Just load up 390 episodes of BRB UK and just see what happens.
There you go.
We don't condone 390. Using old people's data. Precious, valuable data to download episodes of our podcast.
I don't put it on auto-download. I'm not talking about being an ogre. We just want the number.
Yeah.
I think that's where I was going.
Yeah. Make several middle-aged men happy at the same time.
If you're listening and you're not subscribing, just stop what you're doing right now. If you're driving, pull to the side of the road, get your phone out, subscribe, then go about your day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's all right.
Lovely. Right, we're going to go. So thank you ever so much for listening. We really appreciate you downloading us, and do as Coleman says, tell your friends.
Yes,
please.
Ideally about the show, but otherwise just tell them something.
Tell them don't hug them close because COVID.
We need to get our podcast infection rate up. Try and infect two other people with our
podcast. Dude, no, that's not a good... The optics on that message are not good, I have to say.
What's our R-ratio thing at the moment? Like, how many people that listen to our podcast...
Okay, I'm going to shut Tim up here. I'm shutting Tim up. He's just digging himself a hole. He's going to rabbit to himself for a while longer. Me and Coleman, on the other hand, are actually going to finish this show. So thank you ever so much for listening. I have been Dan.
I might have been
the
Tim.
Shut up. Who are you? Other one.
I've been Coleman.
Yeah, you have. And this has been podcast. So thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye. Dr. Sheen, oh darling, and Dr. Sheen, I said thank you for seeing me again. Though we go on our separate ways, still the memory stays for ways. My heart says, Dr. Sheen, Dr. Sheen,
your ears are quite welcome for the podcasting goodness that you just heard. Why not roll on over to BigRedBarrel.com for more podcasts, news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.